Medical information obtained from our website or the live show is not intended to be a substitute for professional care. If your pet has or you suspect they might have an illness or other medical condition, you should consult a health care provider. The opinions expressed on this radio program are not necessarily those of All Paws Pet Talk, this radio show, or their sponsors.
Hello, you're listening to Smart Animal Talk on All Paws Pet Talk Radio, and that means you're listening to me, Deborah Wolf. And today I'll bring you a little news, some quirky stories, some training problems, all the usual on All Paws Pet Talk Radio, but with some quirky twists, because right away we've got Tara Ventura coming back to us from the Magical Matrix. And Tara, I understand your dog, your cat, your pets are getting some special kind of pampering lately. What's that all about?
I mean, they are. She is actually my almost 14. I know I've brought her up many times, 14-year-old. She's having acupuncture and chiropractic treatments, and she's just getting all the, you know, the special things in life. And I have to tell you, Deb, and Chinese herbs, and oh my gosh, I'm looking over here at the bottles, and I have to tell you, I feel like it's helping. She's standing better. Her knee joints have been, getting worse, and but this is helping, as well as she seems more energetic. So I'm really liking it. I'm liking the difference, you know, in between the traditional and holistic, and just seeing what all that's about.
Well, can you tell us a little more about her? How, you say she's 11 or 12. Is this a dog?
This is a dog. She's half blue heeler, half dachshund. And
okay. Yeah, you have talked about her before, but I get a lot of calls about dogs. Yeah, that's a cute little mix. How many pounds? Like 20 pounds?
She's about 27. And, she'll be 14 November. Oh, you know, we don't know exactly about the 20th. We'll just say the 20th. And she's always been a very athletic, on-the-go kind of girl. And just around the time of September when it started, and here, you know, it's in Austin, Texas, it can get humid and rainy. And so I thought, well, it's the barometric pressure. You know, she's slowing down a little bit. She does this every year. But it stayed slowed down, and so, you know, she's, again, almost 14, so I took her in, and she's doing all these pressure points and chiropractic stuff and needles and all this stuff, and it really is making a difference in her life. So super excited about that.
There's some really cool stuff. I don't know if people have ever done this. Probably not. Almost, let me think how long ago this was, 1995, I believe. I took this dog, Wolf Cross, who had spinal myelopathy, which means the back end doesn't get messages from the front end anymore. So if you've seen a big dog like this walking around, what you see is a perky head and a perky front legs. And when the illness is just starting, they drag their back legs. And so, or when it's really just starting, maybe sometimes they fall or sometimes they trip, and then they start to limp, and then they start to drag their back legs, and then it looks like their back end doesn't work. Eventually it catches up and none of them works. But this dog, you know, we knew there was no cure. We knew there was no way it was going to get better. But
Hi.
I knew a practitioner on humans who did all kinds of, he's a chiropractor and an MD, and he did treatments, all sorts of different treatments. And because he and I were in the same theater troupe, I had been, you know, asking him all these questions about this. You know, what can I do about my dog? What do you think? What do you think? So he said, you know what? Just bring him in one day. So brought him into his clinic. He's not set up for animals or anything. But he'd gone over the anatomy of the dog the night before, and he was ready for what he thought. He could do the pressure points. And what he did was he used an acupressure instrument. It looks sort of, how would I describe this? Well, it fits in your hand. It's so small. And it just looks like it's a spring. It sort of looks like a tube, and a tube stuffed inside another tube with a spring inside it. And he puts it to the right spot on the dog or the person where they're sore on their pressure point. And it does a controlled, exact, always the same force and speed push right on the spot. And so my dog, Mike, you know, he didn't really love doctors. He didn't love vets. He didn't love elevators. He didn't love buildings. There was a lot of stuff going on there that it wasn't his favorite thing. So the first time I took him there, he was, you know, kind of reluctant and not that into going there. And we did our usual. We limped into the elevator. I had this strap contraption for his back end. This is before he was in that wheelchair cart thing. And I was like sort of carrying him over the dips and the steps. And we got into the office. We took our turn. Now I'm skeptical. Okay, but we walked out of that office and we walked down the stairs. How could I be skeptical? Right? And the dog didn't believe. The dog has no belief. It's not placebo for the dog. He's in there thinking, you know, why the hell am I here? And I'd rather be in the forest, right? Like, that's what the dog's thinking, anywhere but here. You know, smells like drugs and I don't want to be here. Then the next time I took him, about a week later, he wanted to go. Like, he really wanted to go. So, you know, at least from that point of view, I knew it was a good thing. But the other thing that I thought was very interesting was when this Dr. Brown, Hal Brown, when he checked the dog over, in order to figure out where the dog was suffering pain, he used me. And I don't know, have you ever seen that done?
That is interesting. When I know you've talked about this before, like when one of your animals had a nick on their shoulder, you also had a nick. So, yeah,
that was something we both had to have surgery for. It was like this big unidentified thing on our knees, me and my dog. Yeah, but no, this, what you do, and you can do this with children too. There are practitioners who do this with kids too. When your patient won't communicate their pain, what you can do is, I was asked to put my hand on the dog, anywhere on the dog, and then he was touching the dog, so the dog would, you know, react, either feel pain or not feel pain. But this is the kind of dog who's like very cool cucumber, doesn't show anything. So he's stoic. He's sitting there stoically bearing it all, right? As this man is trying to test him to see where it hurts, why, you know. So, okay. So instead of asking like you would ask an adult, does this hurt? Does this hurt? Does this hurt? You can't do that with a dog who's trying to play tough. So what he did was he went down the areas that he was testing, and I had my hand on the dog. But at the same time, he kept pressing. My other hand was in the air, raised. Like as if to get a high five or to get a gimme five, you know, raised up toward the ceiling. And what happened was he would press my arm down and I was supposed to resist that. So I wasn't really aware of what he was doing. He explained it to me afterward. He said, just hold your hand out and I'm going to press on it while I press on your dog. I'm like, okay. He said, now try not to let your hand move. Okay. So I just stood there, one hand on my dog, one hand in the air, trying not to make my hand move. Now what happens is, this is the cool part, when my dog's in pain, he draws energy from me. And without even knowing it, it's harder for me to keep my hand up with this man pressing down on it. So for the doctor, when he hits pain, my hand goes down because I'm weak. When he doesn't hit pain, my hand stays still. It's like a control wand. You can totally look. It's like a scientific device. It's that clear a sign. So that was super cool to me.
That is super cool. And you know, I've heard dogs and cats take in our lower vibrations, which means our fear, our worry, our stress, whatever. And of course, us being empathic, our animals are empathic and our dogs. So when he had you hold your hand on your pet and then one in the air, he was doing muscle testing, right? Muscle testing, I think is what it's called.
He was just trying to test where's the pain. Because you really couldn't tell with this dog. Where's the blockage? Where's the pain? Where's the sensitivity? He just acted like, you know, really, really cool. He's a wolf cross. Yeah. That's just how they are. They're not that trusting of strangers. They won't show them their vulnerability. That's not what a wolf would do, right? Same with cats. Cats are really hard to diagnose because they don't want to tell you what's wrong with them. They really would rather keep it to themselves. So it's a tricky one when you get a cat to the vet and he's not talking, you know?
Oh,
you don't want to spend loads of money doing tests when you could just find out with your hand in the air and your hand on the cat.
I love it. That's great. Yeah, and I think it is called muscle testing. Not that they're testing our muscles, but they're testing either a product. I've done this in a health food store before where we'll do that to see if it's good for you or if it's not good for you. And then apparently with your dog, they were thinking, okay, well, she'll pick up on his energy, and then we'll see if this is working and what she's feeling or not. So that's very cool, very interesting.
I'm your doggy.
I'm your doggy.
And I love you.
And I love you.
And you know that
you know
I really do.
I really do.
Hey, pet lovers, listen up. Purr Spray Pet. All natural, non-toxic spray for all of your pet problems. Proven safe to use for their skin, eyes, and ears. Helps calm and heal wounds, hot spots, insect bites, and lots more. Will not sting and very safe to use, even for your feathered friends. To find out how you can keep your pets happy and healthy, go to purrspraypet.com. That's purrspraypet.com. purrspraypet.com. Or call us now at 386-310-3924. You know, I was talking to a health practitioner, holistic nurse, Laura Cook, on the air, and we're doing a really long segment. This is so good, they don't want us to break. Do you know that? That's how good this is, Tara. I was talking to Laura Cook about this, and I told her the same story about Mike the dog, and she told me that when she has patients that are really difficult to convince, okay, they've got something in their life that's killing them, like cigarettes, and she can't get them to stop. What she will do is she does this exact thing. She gets them to hold their cigarettes in one hand and gets them to try and resist as she presses down on their arm. And they see how hard it is. And then she takes the cigarettes away without it in their hand. And that's how much the body is talking. That person that really ought to quit cigarettes, when they don't have anything in their hand, it's easy for them to keep their hand in the air. Give them a pack of cigarettes in their left hand and all of a sudden, they can't keep their right hand up. They just won't go up because their body is trying to say to them, ditch the smokes. The smokes are bad. The smokes are taking strength from you. You know, and it's kind of hard for us to just accept that it could be that simple, right? That our bodies are actually that in tune, but they are. We just somehow forgot how to read ourselves.
I think that's it. And, you know, it reminds me, cigarette smokes, people who, you know, drink too much or, you know, alcohol. Yeah, there's many different ways you could use this to say, hey, see how your body reacts differently when this is not in your hand, right?
And yes, and she says, you know, some of the things she tests with aren't necessarily toxic. You know, like lima beans might be good for me, but bad for you, right? Like it can be an allergy thing where the person just isn't, you know, that particular thing, even though it was prescribed to them, is not the right drug for them. Because look how weak their body is when they're holding the packet of pills in their left hand. You know, it's just so direct. It's amazing. I bet you see these kind of direct connections all the time.
Right. Yeah. You know, absolutely. And it pinpoints it like right on the dot instead of guessing and really like doing all these other tests. I mean, there you go. So it makes me think, you know, when I'm working with people and their pets, I don't have, can you do that by talking to them and asking them how they feel and what they want their owner to know more? I'm just wondering. I'm coming up with these ideas as we speak, Deborah.
Well, one of the ways Laura does her treatments long distance, she does a variety of things and usually by Skype, so you're looking right at her. But she... one of the things she does is she asks your body what it wants. She doesn't impose what she thinks you ought to have and what problem you have. She actually gets the information from you, which kind of frustrates me because, like, why can't I have that information? You know, like, it means it's there. And
right. It's there, but I guess, you know, your whole body tuning in is different than you're just knowing in your mind. You know, we think one thing, but we feel differently. And I think that's what we need to tune into a little bit more, is how we feel, how our body reacts, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I think sometimes we're taught to resist the very thing we should be following. Like, for example, a craving. Okay, now when we're pregnant, we're allowed to go with them. That's the one time we're allowed to go with them. When you're pregnant and you all of a sudden want something really, really sweet or really, really salty or protein because you were, well, in my case, I was a vegetarian for years. And when I became pregnant, all I wanted was meat. So I went for it. It just seemed like the right thing to do. Well, I think a lot of times we have these cravings, you know, like all of a sudden you really, really, really want tomato sauce, but you don't do it because you think, well, I had pasta yesterday and then I'm counting my calories. But your body's saying, you need tomatoes, lady, get some tomatoes. And you don't listen.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I agree with you. And just this week, I've been wanting not large amounts of chocolate, but just small amounts. And then I'm like much better afterwards. So I do agree with you. You know, pay attention to let's pay attention to our bodies and ask them what do you want us to know, right?
Well, and apparently, with this whole school of thought about diet and nutrition, our bodies are on cycles. And so, like, I always have this idea that you're supposed to be so balanced all the time, you know, that I think traditionally we thought that it's okay to eat the same foods day in, day out, week after week, year after year. Whereas if you follow your cravings, you might have something a lot for the next 3 weeks and then get sick of it and have something else a lot for the next 3 weeks. And they say that's the way your body actually wants you to do it. So that's kind of interesting that I've been resisting this all this time.
So go have some tomato sauce, right?
Yeah, exactly. For the next 3 weeks, yeah. I'll just have that whenever I want it, and then I won't want it anymore. But maybe my body's had its fill of that particular thing that it was craving and needed. But here I am overthinking it, you know? Just eat what you want, see?
Just eat what you want, and just not, you know, not huge portions, but manageable portions, and eat it when you want it. There you go.
Well, yeah, providing the foods you're wanting are these things you actually do need. Now, I wouldn't advocate going out with, you know, with the beef jerky or something like this, something that's just not healthy, right? I mean, you have to definitely, if you've kind of taught your body to crave the wrong things, that's a bit tricky too. So when it craves protein, it's craving bar-style nachos. Well, that's not exactly what we're talking about here. So you kind of have to make sure what you are filling your body with is healthy to begin with. But if you do that for a while, you'll start craving those foods and not the extra salty, extra sweet restaurant foods and things you probably should stay away from.
Yeah.
So what other treatments has your lovely dog got that you and I probably don't pamper ourselves with?
Oh, my gosh. Well, I give her so much love. I mean, that's another thing, right, is giving ourselves self-love, because I give her so much and I'm talking to her and it's, oh, you know, what do you need at every instant of your life? I'm probably overdoing it. But, you know, hey, why not, right?
From a training perspective, that's not really a worry. You can never praise a dog too much if you only praise him or her when she's doing stuff you like. If you praise a dog when she's rude or doing nothing, you'll get a lazy dog or a rude dog. You'll get whatever you're praising. But if you praise a dog for the things you like lying calmly beside you or sitting or, you know, then that's what you're going to get. And your dog will just be happy that it's doing its job right. So it's okay to praise. You lay it on thick. Lay it on whenever you want. Cuddle as much as you like, as long as it's not when she's being naughty or lazy.
You know what? I love that, because actually, you know, she's really not naughty. The most thing she's doing right now is selective hearing. Well, okay, whatever.
Or is she actually deaf? Okay, well, you know what? We have to go to break. We're going to come back in a little bit, and we'll talk about that. Because every deaf dog starts, or most of them start, with a slight hearing disability. So they may not hear you when they're not looking at you, or when they didn't expect to hear you, when there's other noise, that kind of thing. And sometimes people get really upset with their dogs. I'll tell you about Angus, the Springer Spaniel, whose owner was just bloody fed up, he said, until I told him, that dog is not ignoring you. That dog's deaf. Okay, so stay tuned to Smart Animal Talk, All Paws Pet Talk Radio. When we come back, we're going to have another guest alongside, and we'll be talking all about your animals on Smart Animal Talk, All Paws Pet Talk Radio.
I'm your doggy.
I'm your doggy.
And I love you.
Treat your furry best friend with a Clear Conscience. Clear Conscience Pet, that is. Everything made by this family-owned company is artisan crafted in the USA. From family-farmed ingredient sources, holistically formulated for your pet's best health.
and just plain delicious. Their treats, chews, and the amazing super gravy food topper for dogs and cats are simply the best you can buy, and the company has won 5 National Nutrition Awards to prove it. Now, Clear Conscience Pet is launching the Sliders brand, a true breakthrough in meaty treats featuring the purest tender meat treat ever made. No grain, no gluten, no glycerin or other chemicals found in typical moist treats. Sliders are pub fun snacks made from lean meats nutritionally optimized with omega-rich organic flax and veggies at clearconsciencepet.com. Your pets will love you for it.
Hello, you're listening to Smart Animal Talk with me, Deborah Wolf, and that means you're on All Paws Pet Talk Radio, and we've been talking with Tara Ventura. If you want to know more about her, go to The Magical Matrix. It sounds trippy. It probably is. Is it trippy, Tara?
Of course it's trippy.
Right on. Okay, so we've also got joining us right now, Christine Thompson. And I went to your website earlier, Christine, humanityroad.org, for everybody who wants to check it out. We're going to be talking about disasters today a little bit. Welcome to the show, Christine.
Thank you. Glad to be here.
So do you want to tell us just a little bit about Humanity Road? Not everybody's had a chance to check it out, but I hope they're going to, humanityroad.org. What's it all about, Christine?
Humanity Road was formed in 2010, and basically we connect people who need aid with those who can provide it, and we help people and animal owners survive, sustain, and reunite with their loved ones. So we do focus a lot on animal preparedness and the response in connecting people who have animals impacted by disaster with aid that can help them.
Oh, so you're talking Katrina, right? That's the sort of thing?
Yes, and Hurricane Sandy, several tornadoes, earthquakes, wildfires, flooding. There are all sorts of disasters. And how the animals are impacted varies based on the disaster and the type of animal. It could be livestock. It could
be pets. That's tough, hey? When you get a whole bunch of horses or something, you need land to put them on, land in a safe place. And transport. Do you coordinate the transport?
Where it's required for evacuation during disaster, yes, we will reach out and try to identify aid agencies that can provide local transport. In some cases, we're providing information on where the nearest animal shelter is for that disaster for evacuation. Or in the case of livestock, where a large sheltering location would be for livestock to be herded into that location temporarily during, for instance, flooding or a wildfire.
Tara, when this kind of thing goes on, do you feel it? Do you know? Are you, because we're talking with Tara Ventura and she's kind of able to read things that, well, that I can't. And I'm just wondering, like, when this is going on, I mean, when I hear it on the news, when I see it on the news, I often feel like I want to help and I don't know how. One time there was a fire in Kelowna, which is near me, a really big fire, and they had to evacuate so many animals. And then I was able to help because I was on a radio station in Kelowna every week. And I was able to, you know, I knew the SPCA there and all this sort of stuff. And so I had animals just literally brought here to my commercial dog kennel and just kept them till it was all, you know, because it takes weeks for the people to get back in their homes and able to take their pets back. But most of the time I watch on the news and there's nothing I can do, or at least that's how it seems. Tara, are you able to connect when there's things going on?
Well, you know, yes, Deb, I can. When I read about stuff or I hear about it, it's like, oh, and being so empathic. And I'm picking up on, in fact, when you were talking about the animals being displaced, I was feeling like sadness, you know, real, almost grieving, like, where is my displacement, of course, and depending on which type of animal, you know, dogs or cats, whether the owner is right there. But yeah, it's a real grieving process that they, of course, can't talk about, but they feel, and I feel it. Yeah.
Christine, what do you tell people about, you know, when there is a disaster, how, like, people like me with a farm and fence fields and kennels, and or regular people that could maybe just take an extra dog or two for a week. How do they connect? How do you get that side? I'm sure the people who need your help get to you, but how about the people who can help? How do they get to you?
Well, folks can follow us, of course, in social media. So we have Jade Dog, J-A-I-D, Dog, and Disaster Animals in Twitter. And then our also Disaster Animals is on Facebook as well. And so we are connecting people with emerging sheltering locations. In some cases, it may be an official shelter. So each state or locality may have a formal animal response team. And they are responsible for setting up animal sheltering during disaster. But there are so few of them. And there are specialized equipment that's required, as you know. I mean, it's a challenge to house so many small animals even. And then when you talk about the larger animals, that's even a different type of challenge there. But those who have animals, they need to look into their local area and identify what is the plan locally for them if there is a disaster and they need to evacuate. Will animals be housed at a special shelter? And what are the requirements for that shelter? Typically, they need to have the inoculation paperwork. So you should have paperwork on your animal that shows that they have had their shots, or else they will not be admitted to that shelter. So those are some things they can think about. And
yeah, that means up to date, right? That means you got to make sure they're up to date. A lot of people just let it slide, and then there's a disaster, and your dog's not allowed in. You know,
right.
What about cages? Because I find that's a big issue when there's something going on. They always need cages. Should everybody keep their puppy cage, disassemble it, and keep it? I think they should, because you never know. If there's a hurricane coming, you need a cage for your dog, right?
They absolutely should, yes. And there are different types of pet carriers. As you know, there are the soft carriers that people can, and they're easily collapsible, easily storable in your car, you know, in case you have to leave quickly. And then there are the hard case carriers, which are probably a better type of carrier when you're in, for instance, an earthquake situation.
Yeah.
You really don't want a soft carrier.
Well, any situation, they're going to be stacking these animals, right? You really need your dog or cat in a safe, hard carrier if you can. And the carriers, even though, you know, you're probably rolling your eyes thinking, in my apartment? Well, the thing is, if you take it apart, and there are some that have clasps rather than screws, if you take it apart, it takes 5 seconds, and turn it inside itself, it's basically a big tub with no lid. So you can put all kinds of stuff in there. It can go in, you know, in storage and be a storage bucket sort of thing without it taking up huge amounts of space. But I really think you need that cage or your dog might get crushed or lost or escape, right?
Absolutely. I also wanted to touch a little bit on service animals.
Sure.
Because they're, you know, animals save our lives every day. Whether they're friendship and family to us, you know, as close as part of our family and helping us with our emotions. But in some cases, they are working animals. And they're serving a wide range of needs, from mental to physical. And they need to be cared for during disaster as well, and they need to be kept with their owners. So those owners need to have a special plan for their disaster and be aware of what are the rules and regulations regarding how and where they can transport together and stay together. So they really need to, the service animal owners need to be extra diligent in identifying what will happen in the case of a disaster, what do I need to know and my animals, and what paperwork should I take with me.
Well, Christine,
you know, it's not just automatic. I mean, when they see the guy who's blind with his seeing eye dog, they don't just automatically say, yes, you and your dog can come on the boat. They don't, or come in the ambulance or come on the bus or whatever it is. They try to separate the blind guy from his dog? Are you kidding me?
I'm not going to say it's done on purpose, but I think that in some cases, for the general public that is not familiar with service animals, other than they see a dog or typically often a dog with a vest, they recognize that's a working dog. But I don't think the general public generally understands what are the needs of that pair.
I get what you're saying. We're coming up really fast on our break, Christine, so I'm going to ask you to stay on for the next segment, if that's all right.
I'll be glad to.
Okay, and we've got Tara Ventura, everybody, so we'll be talking some more about pets. I do want to tell you about Angus that everybody thought was deaf, so I'll try and get that in next segment or the one after. And I also had a question for us today from a Blue Heeler owner. Blue Heeler's a herding dog, sort of like a Border Collie, only shorter and sturdier and tougher, and they're made to herd cattle. And this guy has a herding job for this dog. He's got a bit of a problem. There's no off switch. Okay, so everybody stay tuned. We'll be back to talk about that and Angus and dogs who pretend to be deaf. And we'll be talking with Christine Thompson after the break on Smart Animal Talk, All Paws Pet Talk Radio. Stay tuned.
And anytime you're near,
your itchy dog allergy sad? Did you know that our dogs suffer from the same pollen, dust mite, and mold allergies that we do? Now, veterinarian dermatologist Dr. Christian has formulated Doggy Goo. Doggy Goo is a peanut butter treat for your dog. But Doggy Goo also sublingually builds tolerance to 10 pollens, 2 mites, and 3 molds 100% naturally. Try Doggy Goo. Your dog will Doggy Goo lick it up. Call 855-246-2426. The number again is 855-246-2426 or on the web www.healthygoo.com. Goo spelled G-O-O.
Scratch it.
For your dogs, running beside your bike is more rewarding canine exercise than any walk. It's also more dangerous. Until now. Introducing the amazingly stable Bike Toe Leash, the only safe dog biking attachment approved by the American Pet Association. The Bike Toe Leash installs in seconds on bikes, trikes, power chairs, and mobility scooters. No tools needed, and dogs learn it immediately. With a Bike Toe Leash, both dogs and rider can enjoy fun recreation anywhere, no matter what your ability level. To learn more and order your Bike Toe Leash, visit BikeToeLeash.com. That's BikeToeLeash.com. Bike toe leashes are made in the USA and ship worldwide. That website again is BikeToeLeash.com.
Hello. You're listening to Smart Animal Talk on All Paws Pet Talk Radio with me, Deborah Wolf. And if you want more of me, you can find me at DeborahWolfOnline.com, or you can check out all the happy dogs at Camp Good Dog. Now they're playing in the mud and the rain. Yeah, winter's here. But you can check them out at Camp Good Dog on Facebook, where we post pictures all the time and videos. And cats even make it on there, so don't you worry. They're represented. Okay, so Christine and Tara, back having a conversation together, and we're talking about disasters and animals and all the implications of that, and we were touching on service dogs. I was a little shocked to hear that a blind guy might get separated from his dog, but then you got to imagine it's chaos, and the people are volunteers, and there's everything going everywhere, and, you know, I could see how it could happen. So you're saying be prepared, right? We're all going to be Boy Scouts for a minute. Be prepared, right? Is that what it is, Christine?
That's exactly right, and that's why Humanity Road focuses on sharing this type of information about service animals impacted by disaster with the general public.
Okay, so what would you like people to know? What's really important in their preparation? You got their vaccines, we got their cage. When I've done stories about animal rescue before, I've tried to stress to people that you don't want to be the person who has the cat that's known for not being touched by anybody but you. That cat in a disaster is gone. Nobody can touch it. Nobody can save it. It's dead. You want the cat that knows your neighbor and lets people touch it and will come to its name. You want the dog that gets into the cage when he's told because he's been trained and he's had treats given in there and he thinks it's a happy place. All this makes it so that a rescuer can actually get your pet. Wouldn't you agree with that? How else can they prepare?
Sure. They could also make sure that their animals have some sort of permanent identification, such as a microchip or some sort of brand or tattoo, in case they are separated.
Mm-hmm.
You also want to prepare for what happens if disaster happens and I'm not home and my pet's at home? So, flooding,
yeah, that's the neighbor situation where you call your next door neighbor and she's totally willing to grab your cat, but your cat won't go with anybody but you. Well, now what? That's the problem. So we need to train our dogs and cats to listen to people. That doesn't mean they're going to let people rob your house for those dog owners. They don't have to listen to everybody, but they should listen to a few people, right?
Yes.
And, okay,
you
so
could train them to listen to the Coast Guard, but don't know that training is offered right now.
Do you know what, though? It's funny how that works, how animals, especially dogs, seem to know. They seem to know when someone is wrong or someone is right. Even a person of authority, even a man yelling instructions, they know when it's the right thing to do. They almost never make that mistake. It's a very interesting fact of working with animals in these situations. But animals are very good at reading who's dominant, who's aggressive, who's trying to help them. They know your intention. So, but you still have to have some basic training so they won't be panicking and misbehaving during a crisis. I want to ask you, we just talked about animals lost from their owners. Tara, how often do you get calls from people who are trying to ask you, do you know if my cat's alive? Do you know where my cat is? Do you get that a lot?
Yeah, I don't know that I get it a lot, but I do get it every so often. And, that's the hardest thing in the world because, if your animal passes on, then of course there's closure to it. But if they're lost, and I remember when we were, I think I was in junior high, and we had a cat, and the cat ran off because we had moved, and it was just like, where is this cat? And my mother used to drive back through the neighborhood and look for him, and it was very difficult. And my sister, I know, they had an animal, and they were traveling, well, they were in Florida, and the dog actually was stolen. And so, that's a very difficult thing to deal with. And I do get people to ask about it. And sometimes, I can feel, okay, this dog is, the dog is either okay or, you don't ever want to tell someone that, oh, your dog's not doing too well. But it's, a lot of times, too, with cats, they come back. They may leave for a while, but they also know how to come back. And, dogs can as well.
When Dusty's been on this show, she said that most of the time when cats go missing, they're not really missing. They've made a choice, and they're within a few houses of the house they left.
Yeah.
It's kind of funny, but I believe it. And one time when I was living in the city, I thought I owned this cat that I called Marmalade, and I took him and I got him vaccinated, I got him neutered, the whole nine yards. And one day my neighbor shows up with him in her arms and says, did you neuter my cat? I was like, oh no, we had the same cat, honest to God. We both had adopted the stray off the street. We both thought we were doing the right thing. He was acting like it. And she said, well, thanks, you saved me the money. I mean, good thing we're on the same page on that one. But I guess I did. So now his name's Alfred and he lives in Vancouver. But, I guess he doesn't, he's not alive anymore. That was a while back. But I think cats do choose their owners a lot of the time. If they're given any freedom at all and you're not dealing, your life isn't what they want and somebody else nearby is, they'll just go there. So and maybe that's okay. So Christine, I know we only have 2 minutes left in the segment. So everybody, you're gonna have to hold on for me to talk about Angus. And I may not even get to that herding dog today. Had a busy show. Christine, what would you like to leave people with as we wrap up here?
I wanted to let people know that we would like to share the message about animals impacted by disaster and those that are serving as service animals and how they can prepare for disaster. And this year, during the Global Giving Day on December 2nd, which is Giving Tuesday, we are going to be highlighting animals impacted by disaster, animals in disaster, both those working as service dogs and those being prepared for disaster on Global Day of Giving on Tuesday, December 2nd. We hope folks will follow us and consider making a donation.
Last year there was a really bad sinkhole in Washington near Seattle somewhere, and I remember them interviewing the guys who were doing the, you know, the trying to find the people and trying to find the bodies. And they were saying, it's too bad the dogs have to have rest breaks, because when they're here, we are so much more effective. They pinpoint exactly the area we have to search. But it made me think, oh my God, those dogs are under stress. What a terrible, terrible job to do as a dog. So we've got to be thinking of them as true first responders, really. Okay, everybody, our segment wrapped up. Check out humanityroad.org. Check out the Magical Matrix. Thank you for joining me, Tara. Thank you for joining me, Christine. It's been lovely.
Thank you.
Glad to be.
Thanks. All right, everyone, stay tuned.
I'm your doggy.
I'm your doggy.
And I love you.
NuVet Plus, your pet's best friend. NuVet Plus is an immune system builder that is safe for all stages of your dog's life. Helps eliminate most issues, including allergies, scratching and itching, hot spots, arthritis and joint issues, chronic ear infections, tear staining, lack of energy, digestive issues, and so much more. All natural, manufactured in an FDA-registered human pharmaceutical lab here in the USA, using ingredients sourced in the USA. Nothing artificial, no sugars, wheat, corn, or dyes. Never heat treated to help retain all the natural rich ingredients. Comes with a 60-day money-back guarantee and is only pennies a day. Call us Monday through Friday, 7 a.m. to 5 p.m. Pacific Time. 1-800-474-7044. That's 1-800-474-7044. And tell them you are referred by All Paws Pet Talk Radio. Or go online to www.nuvet.com. That's www.nuvet.com. Use order code 33955. Again, www.nuvet.com. Order code 3395. Put your pet on the path to good health.
Hello, you're listening to Smart Animal Talk on All Paws Pet Talk Radio. And I did tell you I was going to talk about Angus, so I'll tell you briefly before we bring on our guest, Anthony Benny from Clear Conscience Pet and Clear Conscience Pet Food and Clear Conscience the show on All Paws Pet Talk Radio. But first, we're just going to talk about Angus. I had this customer for years. He had this lovely dog named Ruby and an older dog named Angus, two Springer Spaniels. And this guy was a doctor, a plastic surgeon, actually. And he was a hunter. And he took these Springer Spaniels hunting, duck hunting every year. They were very fit, lovely dogs, well-trained, awesome dogs. So after a couple of years, he brought the dogs to me for boarding and said, you know, I really wish you'd work on his recall, because he just is selective hearing. The guy just won't come and it's driving me mad. He's just so frustrating. This is an old British gentleman sort of thing, the way he speaks anyway. He's Canadian, but the way he speaks. And so he's just sort of telling me how frustrated he is with this darned old dog that won't listen to him. I get out there. Angus is deaf. Angus is deaf from gunshot. Angus can't hear a thing. If Angus is looking at you, he is 100% on the recall. And if he's not looking at you, he's zero. That's a deaf dog. So if you have a dog that all of a sudden, as he's getting older, seems to be not always listening, but his attitude is still good, you don't really understand why he's not listening, he's not choosing something else, he just seems to not hear you some of the time, you gotta have him checked over for deafness. You know, drop something loud nearby and see if he reacts. Chances are he won't. So you gotta check this out. He may have a hearing problem. You don't want to be disciplining him when he just can't hear you. What you need to do is put him on a long leash and practice getting him to look at you every couple minutes or so, so you'll be able to give him commands. Then you can start giving him visual commands. He'll respond. Just do a hand signal every single time you give him the come command. Do the same hand signal, and it won't take him long at all. You could pull him in on the lead if you need to, but you'll be able to teach him to listen to you so, so fast. Another thing you might do is put a bell on him so you can hear him even if he can't hear you. Put a bell on yourself if you've got a blind dog. Same reason. And wear something smelly If you're a cigarette smoker, you've already got that covered. If not, you might need tea or peppermint gum, something in your pocket that will make it easy for him to find you wherever you are. Okay, so now, drum roll, here we go. We've got another host joining us, Anthony Benny from Clear Conscience Pet Food. Welcome to the show.
Thank you, Deb, for having me. How wonderful to have a reunion with you. You were so kind to have me on. Gosh, it must be almost a year ago, and I really enjoy your program. So what a cool opportunity for us to have a host-to-host, coast-to-coast confab.
There you go, Vancouver to Connecticut. I bet you it's colder where you are.
It is probably, but it's beautiful, and the leaves are in the peak form and just vibrant golds and reds. And so we do enjoy the fall here, but that means winter's coming, and we don't enjoy that quite as much. But however, I just spoke to someone in Vancouver area yesterday, the wonderful Dr. Alan Schoen, who was calling me from an island in the Puget Sound. So he's really, I guess, closer to Seattle. But what a great man, and someone I'm sure you would love to talk to. He's just a fascinating figure in the history of holistic veterinary medicine. And I just wanted to comment on what you were just saying, because it was so right on. Carly, the dog that really started my career in animal nutrition, who's our logo is a representation of her face. She was a chow chow, and chows, as you know, are very stubborn dogs. But she was a wonderful, sweet, sweet thing. I still think of her every single day and talk to her. But when she was
getting a little chows, and I'm not sure I believe you on the second part of that. I know chows as a trainer. Oh boy, the only people who like chows less are probably groomers. But I do like, if you're a chows person, if you're their owner, that's great. If you're a stranger trying to deal with them when they're not in a good mood, not so great.
Yeah, I guess I wouldn't want a chow who was out of sorts dropped off on me for an afternoon of grooming and fussing around. But I didn't realize she was deaf until probably was deaf a couple of years before I really knew it, because I was just not used to her being the type of dog that was like, come, stay, sit.
She
kind
didn't
of a
listen
dog.
Anyway. You didn't know the difference.
Right.
Oh
yeah,
man.
So, you thump your foot on the ground, and if your dog turns around and they don't turn around when you talk, they're feeling vibrations but not hearing high-frequency sounds. So you got yourself a deaf dog there, or at least
but
a partially deaf dog.
Yeah, it can be a little trickier to test sometimes, because sometimes they're deaf on one side or they're deaf in a way that makes it possible for them to hear you when there's no other sound, but if there's other sounds, they can't distinguish. So sometimes it's a little tricky, and you might need a vet to help you out with this if you're wondering. But, definitely, if you've got something they love that makes a noise, and you take that where they can't see it, like a squeaky toy, and you squeak it, and they don't react, that's a pretty clear sign you've got a problem. So
absolutely,
just check it out. Go to see your doctor. It may even be, sometimes the deafness can be cured. It can be an infection. Like it may not even be something that's permanent, especially if you catch it quick.
Yeah, that's a very good point, especially in younger dogs. One should be very aware of that potential situation. So we are all responsible for figuring out what's going on with our animals. We need to listen to them and watch them and really, really be a part of their lives so that we know what's happening with them.
Do you know, while we're on the subject of deafness in dogs, I just want to say that if you are looking at a puppy that has blue eyes because you like that trait, but it maybe isn't a breed that doesn't necessarily always have blue eyes. It's not a husky where it's normal. Maybe you got a blue-eyed Doberman, a blue-eyed Border Collie, a blue-eyed Blue Heeler, a blue-eyed Spaniel, a blue-eyed mutt. Give some extra time to making sure that dog is not deaf on the blue side. If it's got one brown, one blue, a lot of times blue is a defect that shows up when a dog also has the defect for deafness. Now, that's okay if you know how to deal with it and you're prepared to deal with it. But if you're a beginner and this is your first dog and, you want it real easy, go with the brown eyes. That's my suggestion. Brown can be good. So, Anthony, have you been giving out Halloween tips?
You know what? We've been instead of passing out kits, I mean, we're constantly everywhere we go. We meet new people and hand out wonderful, nutritious treats and super gravy. But what we've been focusing on lately is trying to get people to do a cleanup, a closet cleanup for Halloween. I want to make Halloween. You're going to help me to launch this, Deb. I want Halloween to be pillage your pantry day. I want you to go into your pantry and look at every pet product that you're using. Of course, you know, all your edibles as well as shampoos and topicals, and read the ingredients, especially on the edibles. Sometimes it's hard to determine from shampoos and topical products because they don't have the same requirements for individual ingredient listing. But on the edibles, the treats, I want you to look for glycerin and banish it from your existence. I have written a lot about the subject, and it's just the biggest non-food ingredient that's put in so many treats, and there's no purpose for it. I want you to look for excessive amounts of grains and non-meat proteins like pea protein and fillers like tapioca, and just kind of look at your treats and give an evaluation and really decide if that treat really belongs in your lineup, because there's so much great stuff out there, and including ours, but there's other really good companies. But there's a lot of companies that I believe are getting away with really putting out a very mediocre product at a quite a hefty price. So read those ingredients.
All right. So that's what you need to go do. Get at your pantries. Anthony, we are quickly running out of time. We have 1 minute left. So can you please tell everybody when you've got your show on All Paws Pet Talk Radio?
Our show is on Wednesdays at 11 a.m. Pacific time for you folks out there, and 2 p.m. Eastern time, live on BBS Radio Channel 1. And we cover everything from the spirit world and animal communication and intuitives and healers to practical nutrition, rescue, media, and we even have music people who come on the program who are involved with dogs because of our connection between the music world. I'm a musician and a dog person. So you name it,
okay,
we've got
everybody.
It.
You heard it from Anthony Venny himself. Check out Clear Conscience and Clear Conscience Pet Foods too, but Clear Conscience Radio on All Paws Pet Talk Radio. It's already on the network. You can catch it. And for those of you who want to listen to me again next week, I'll be back. For sure, I'll be back. And I will be talking about that blue healer. In fact, between now and then, I'm going to go train him. I am. This blue healer, he is so awesome. I can't wait. I'm so excited. It's been, 5 years since mine died. I can't wait to work with this dog. He's going to herd those goats. Oh, yes, he is. And he will stop when we tell him to. Because what's the use of having a dog that works well but won't stop? You know, it's like having a machine with no off switch. It's not good. It's just not good. You don't want the goats in perpetual motion. So I'm going to go solve that problem out on the farm, and I'll come back to you next week with an update. Until then, have a safe and happy Halloween. Keep your dogs away from chocolate and candy. Keep your cats inside and safe. And until next week, from me, Deborah Wolf, and Smart Animal Talk and All Paws Pet Talk Radio, be good to your animals.
I'm your doggy,
I'm your doggy,
and I love you.